Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically based messages live down the internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
Good evening. Welcome to Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio. We are streaming live on the internet from London. This show is dedicated to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. On tonight's program, we will be discussing the importance of meekness. We will be studying to find out why this character trait is so necessary in day-to-day life. We'll have more about our subject after we've had some music.
I love to tell a story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. To tell the story will be my theme in glory. To tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. When in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love.
The importance of meekness. We will discuss this subject tonight with answers from the Bible. Have a pen and paper ready to write down some notes. Tonight we will be discussing these questions together. What is meekness? Why is meekness so precious in God's sight? How do we develop meekness? What are the consequences of failing to learn meekness? And what reward awaits the meek in the life to come? So before we go through our subject this evening, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, once again we thank you for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio, streaming live on the internet from London. Lord, I pray that as we study this subject this evening, one Lord that's at the very foundation of the happiness of families, I pray, Lord, that Holy Spirit will be with us and help us to understand about you is our prayer. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, what is meekness? If you have your Bibles, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. Now, I, Paul, myself beseech you, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. We read in Titus chapter 3 and verse 2, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. The Bible teaches us that meekness is the gentleness of Christ. It is to have a gentle spirit. In the book of Titus, we read what gentleness is. It is to speak evil of no man and not to be a brawler or fighter. It is to be peaceable. Meekness is a divine attribute, a quality of character that comes only from God himself. We read in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We read in Romans chapter 15 and verse 33, now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. We read in John chapter 14 and verse 27. This is Jesus speaking. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus Christ, whose name is Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, he is also called the God of Peace. He offers his peace to his followers. Here we see how the Bible teaches us about the character of the true God. The true God is a gentle being and the author of all peace. We read in Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 3, and in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. As that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The scriptures associate meekness with the righteousness and true holiness of God. If we are seeking the Lord, then the scriptures direct us to seek these attributes of character that he possesses. Note also, listeners, that those who are meek are hid or protected in the day of the Lord's anger. The day of the Lord's anger is Christ's second coming, the day when he will come to punish all the unrepentant sinners in the world for all their evil deeds. We read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 2 to 3. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now why is meekness so precious in God's sight? We read in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 1 to 6. Likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that, if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold, of putting on of apparel, but that it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Now, listeners, let us look at these Bible texts closely. In the old time, holy women like Sarah, who trusted in God, rather than plaiting her hair and wearing gold, she wore on the spiritual garment of a meek and quiet spirit. The righteousness of Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, covered her. She was covered by Christ's presence and had his love ruling in her heart because she was obedient and submitted to his word. Sarah was in subjection to her own husband Abraham, obeying him and calling him Lord. The word Lord here is from the Greek word kurios, which means master or controller, the man of the house, the person who was in charge. But why was this? How did Abraham treat Sarah and his house? We read in Genesis chapter 18 and verses 18 to 19, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. Sarah called Abraham Lord, or master or controller of the house, because Abraham kept the way of the Lord and did justice and judgment. Abraham was no arbitrary ruler. He treated every member of his family lovingly, fairly, and equally. He was a loving husband. His loving leadership had an influence upon his wife and his children, which was why the Lord had clearly mentioned in Scripture that Abraham commanded his household after him. His household reflected the spirit that Abraham had. Now, listeners, what spirit did Abraham have in order for him to be blessed? We read in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verses 19 to 20, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. This is Moses speaking, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. We read in Galatians chapter 3, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We read in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. For Abraham to be blessed, he would have received the life of God through the Holy Spirit by faith. Abraham was a man of faith. This being the case, as the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, Abraham had a meek and quiet spirit. He, through the life and Spirit of Christ, had a loving disposition. And thus Abraham's household is an example of how all our homes will be when husbands and wives submit unto the Lord. In the book of 1 Peter, we read that to have a meek and quiet spirit is precious in God's sight. This is because this rightly represents him, the loving and peaceable sovereign ruler of the universe. This, quite simply, is the spirit of heaven. As an earthly father is proud of his children if they honor him by rightly representing him to the world, so is God the Father in heaven proud of all his children if they rightly represent him to the world. This is why Abraham and Sarah are in Scripture, because their relationship and home set the right example for God's order for the family. So listeners, gentleness and quietness and faithful trust in God's word are qualities of character that he prizes the most. Let us contrast this, for example, with modern feminism. I will quote from a Christian website called girldefined.com. It states here, feminism has rejected God as the ultimate authority for life and instead placed herself on the throne. The God of feminism pridefully says, I know better than God and I will live out my womanhood how I think is best. Right now, today, almost all feminist groups strongly stand for the following. A woman's right to abort or murder her unborn baby. Lesbianism and the right for women to marry women. Complete liberation from sexual boundaries and morals. Freedom from traditional gender roles in marriage. And rejection of God as the ultimate authority in life. This is what's listed in GirlDefined.com. Now, listeners, feminism originates from the ancient pagan matriarchal religions, where women like Jezebel worshipped warlike goddesses, such as Semiramis or Ashtaroth. According to the Oxford English Dictionary, matriarchy is a form of social organization in which the mother or oldest female is the head of the family, and descent and relationship are reckoned through the female line, government or rule by a woman or women. And so can we see the contrast tonight, listeners, in principle? Holy men and women who worship the Lord Jesus Christ bring his peace and love and unity in the home. Unholy men and women, like Ahab and Jezebel, who worship the satanic and warlike attributes of pagan demon gods, they bring war and ruin into a home. And because of the emasculation of men through homosexuality and disobedience as a whole, there are less and less men who are taking up the responsibilities and roles in their homes, not just to earn, but to love. Satan then uses this coldness to draw many women into feminism and to believe that they are qualified to fully take over. But it is all a deception. A man or woman of him or herself cannot restore love and peace and respect in the home. Only Jesus can, by his grace, restore our homes. The Lord is looking for men and women in the church to be his representatives, and who, as his precious jewels, can bring his holy influence into broken homes. As we read earlier, both men and women who profess to be Christians are to reflect the gentle and peaceable meekness of Christ and God. We will continue with our study tonight after this break.
Nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee, e'en though it be a cross that raiseth me.
How do we develop meekness? We read in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 1 to 6. And seeing the multitudes, this is Jesus, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they that shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. When Jesus taught his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, he taught them and us the steps that one needs to take in order to grow in Christian character. In order to develop meekness, a person has to first recognize their spiritual poverty and their need for Christ. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven, because the poor in spirit are willing to open their hearts so that Christ can come into them through the Holy Spirit. And so we all first need to realize our need to be patient and gentle. Jesus then taught that the next step is for us to mourn over the sins that we have committed against God. We are to be sorry for all the wrong things that we have said and done to our husbands, wives, children, and to any other person. This is because once we experience God's love and presence in our hearts, and how good that he is, then we are to be sorry for offending such a beautiful God. We see that Christ, pure and holy and innocent, was beaten and suffered and died for our own sins, and realize that we are unworthy to still be blessed by him. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Such mourning shall be comforted. God reveals to us our guilt, that we may flee to Christ and through him be set free from the bondage of sin and rejoice in the liberty of the sons of God. In true contrition, we may come to the foot of the cross and there leave our burdens. So, listeners, can we see how we reach the next step that we are studying about tonight? Blessed are the meek. Those who have felt their need of Christ, who have mourned because of sin and over all the wrong words and actions they have done, and have sat with Christ in the school of affliction, will learn meekness from the divine teacher. Jesus places meekness among the first qualifications for his kingdom. In his own life and character, the divine beauty of this precious grace is revealed. Listeners, human nature is ever struggling for expression, ready for contest. But he who learns of Christ is emptied of self, of pride, of love of supremacy, and there is silence in the soul. Self is yielded to the disposal of the Holy Spirit. Then we are not anxious to have the highest place. We have no ambition to crowd and elbow ourselves into notice, but we feel that our highest place is at the feet of our Savior. We look to Jesus, waiting for his hand to lead, listening for his voice to guide. The Apostle Paul had this experience, and he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. When we learn of Christ and put away all selfishness, pride, and the love of supremacy, then we can understand what it means to be meek and gentle and quiet. We have to choose to be like this. Victory over sin is not just a mental act of faith where a person just believes in Christ and is pardoned for their sins. It is not justification alone. When we yield ourselves to the disposal of the Holy Spirit and let Christ renew our sinful, evil hearts, then we become sanctified and holy as the Spirit of God rules and directs our lives. This is what it means to live by the faith of the Son of God. This is true soul sanctification. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25, And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. We read in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. One of the main reasons that many of us fail to experience soul sanctification and develop patience and gentleness is because we fail to be temperate in all things. Temperance is to abstain from all things that are harmful and to use judiciously or wisely those things that are helpful. But professed Christians overindulge in eating and drinking and in dressing and working, in speaking and in the things that they watch through social media. And intemperance does not consist only of physical acts, listeners. It can also be mental in nature. Many of us are in a constant mental depression, continually thinking about our own issues and brooding over the darkness that has been in our past lives. Many of us also give place to hatred and envy and jealousy. Many of us feed on false doctrines, the Babylonian wine of error, and do not gather up the truth and the precious promises of God that bring the light of God's love into our hearts and minds. All of this is intemperance, and the reasons why many of us cannot know what it is to be patient and gentle and quiet. These, more than any other sins, cause the church to morally fall. Our health is determined not only by what we physically eat, but more importantly, by what we feed our hearts and minds. Listeners, when we are willing to surrender all to Christ and to put away these evil thoughts and desires, then Christ can work out his love and power and meekness into our lives. Now, what are the consequences of failing to learn meekness? We read in Numbers chapter 12 and verses 1 to 15. And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, "Have the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Have he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, "Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation." And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, "The Lord, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, "Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of his mother's womb." And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee." And the Lord said unto Moses, "If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received again." And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. Now, listeners, there is no better lesson to be learned about the consequences of failing to be meek and quiet by this record in Scripture. Moses was the meekest man on the earth, the most patient and gentle man who lived at that time. This was why God chose him to lead a degraded and stubborn and rebellious people out of Egypt. When Miriam became jealous of her sister-in-law, and she and Aaron murmured against Moses, the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. The Lord therefore surely put Miriam in her place. After God had taught the lesson that the sins of jealousy, murmuring, and fault-finding are to the spiritual life what leprosy is to the physical being, then, in answer to the prayers of Moses, the leprosy was cleansed. Miriam was, however, shut out of the camp for 7 days. Not until she was banished from the encampment did the symbol of God's favor again rest upon the tabernacle. In respect for her high position, and in grief at the blow that had fallen upon her, the whole company abode in Hazeroth, awaiting her return. This manifestation of the Lord's displeasure was designed to be a warning to all Israel, to check the growing spirit of discontent and insubordination. If Miriam's envy and dissatisfaction had not been signally rebuked, it would have resulted in great evil. Envy is one of the most satanic traits that can exist in the human heart, and it is one of the most baneful in its effects. It was envy that first caused discord in heaven, and its indulgence has wrought untold evil among men. Where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. James chapter 3 verse 16. So shall not these lessons be of profit to those who are tempted to criticize, think evil of, speak evil of, and judge and condemn those who God is leading and favoring? And how much worse is it to criticize and give judgment against the church that God has chosen to magnify his name and vindicate his honor, and to speak simply against an individual member? So listeners, if we do not learn to know our place and to have respect toward others, especially towards God's chosen servants, and become envious and jealous of them, then judgment will come upon us. We will be brought to shame where it hurts us the most, to humble us and teach us to be respectful and quiet towards others. We will not have God's favor until the leprosy of the sins of envy and jealousy are removed from our hearts. Now, what reward awaits the meek in the life to come? We read in Psalm 37 and verse 11, "But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." We read in Psalm 149 and verse 4, "For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation." We read in Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 3, "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." And we read in Psalm 22 and verse 26, "The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever." We will have another break for some music and come back with our closing thoughts.
I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. to suffer, though it will cost all you claim as yours. Your sacrifice will seem small beside the treasure eternity can't measure, what Jesus holds in store. Embrace the love the cross requires. Cling to the one whose heart knew every pain. Receive from Jesus fountains of compassion. Only He can fashion our hearts to move as His. Oh, wondrous cross, our desires rest in You. Oh, Lord Jesus, make us bolder to face with courage the shame and disgrace You bore upon Your shoulder. Embrace the life that comes from come, trace the steps the Savior walked for you. An empty tomb concludes Golgotha's sorrow. Endure then till tomorrow your cross of suffering. Embrace the cross. Embrace the cross of Jesus.
Listeners, how are our relationships at home? Are they based upon giving or are they based upon taking? My dear listening brothers, are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Do you, through His power, speak kindly to and treat kindly your wife and children? Do you gently love your wife as Christ has loved the church? Are you real husbands, binding the members of the family together for God? To those to whom this applies, hear me now. When you stop shouting at your family and venting out your frustrations upon your wife and children, when you set a Christ-like example, not a devilish one, and bear your family's burdens and sacrifice yourself for them, and give them true love and protection, and live honestly and faithfully before them, then, brothers, you can know what it means to know righteousness. Now, my dear listening sisters, are you also filled with the Holy Ghost? Do you, through His power, speak kindly to your husband, and gently submit to him as unto the Lord? Again, to those whom this applies, please hear me now. When you stop arguing with your husbands and start living the way that God desires you to, when you humble yourselves and give men their rightful place as Jesus would have you, and focus upon the duties that God gives to a woman, then you are doing your part to help to usher in the second coming of Christ. And my sisters, even if you have no husband, if you have children to care for, then hear what the Lord has to say through his servant in a book called Christian Education. The great stimulus to the toiling, burdened mother should be that every child who is trained aright and who has the inward adorning, the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, will shine in the courts of the Lord. That's Christian Education, page 178. Listeners, there are too many rude children in our homes. There are too many rude children in our church. Instead of desiring to find out when the Sunday law is going to come in, or when the banking system will collapse, or when you need to go out to live into the country, the first work for the men and women in Israel is to teach their children manners and to cultivate a meek and quiet spirit, as Jesus has commanded us to. Let not any child be allowed to say to their mother or father, "Shut up." When things have gone this far in the home, then parents, you are in very serious trouble. In many cases, especially if the children are in their adulthood, it will be too late, as their rebellion has become so deep that, like Satan, banishment will be the only way forward. We talk about the mark of the beast, yet beastly behavior is seen right in our homes, and we are blind to it. Cannot we see that Jesus wants us to be like he is? Gentle? This is why the Laodicean message is given to God's church. We all really need to pray and ask the Lord to spare us and to help us to see our real spiritual condition before our probation closes. Every family member needs to know their place, and only God can teach us this. This is why we produced the series, The Restoration of the Family Unit. We direct you, listeners, to download our podcasts or to buy our CDs and listen to the whole series. The happiness of families and churches depends upon home influences. Eternal interests depend upon the proper discharge of the duties of this life. The world is not so much in need of great minds as of good men who will be a blessing in their homes. So listeners, let us now pray to close. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this message. And I do pray, Lord, that first of all, you'll forgive us for our sins. Lord, and that in your mercy, that we would allow you to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's too many hard words that are being spoken in our homes. Lord, there's so little respect for order, for position, for fatherhood, for motherhood, even for childhood. Everyone seems to be doing what they feel is right in their own sight, Lord, but this is not Christianity. I do pray, Lord, that every single one of us will look to you and understand through you what our role is, and then cheerfully and lovingly carry out, Lord, your plan for us in our lives. Let us not be any more like Adam and Eve, who, when they sinned, blamed each other for the position that they were in. Because this is presently what's happening amongst us, Lord. And this is why you've sent the Laodicean message. We're rich and increase of goods, Lord. We have so much knowledge and light available. The Bible, the Spirit of Prophecy, Lord, and we can access so many historical documents through places like the internet, especially us in Western countries. But yet, Lord, our lives are not a reflection of the light that we have received. So help us, Lord, to remember who you are and how you conduct yourself as the sovereign, ruling King of the universe. If we claim to be your children, Lord, let us humble ourselves and truly seek to reflect your meekness and gentleness. And I pray, Lord, that from this day forward, that we would renew our vows to you and towards each other, And Lord, I pray that those who are always speaking bad words to each other, Lord, that they would make a rule never to say anything unkind again. Lord, the message has been given, and I pray that we would take these things to heart, and that heaven will be a living reality to us, Lord, not an imagination. These things I pray and ask humbly in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listeners, if you have any questions or if you'd like more information, please send an email to inquiries@wildernesspublications.org. You can send a text message to 07944-062-786. For further study about this subject, we recommend that listeners read pages 14 to 18 in the book called Thoughts on the Mount of Blessing, written by E.G. White. This is a divinely inspired book. The section entitled Blessed Are the Meek explains more about meekness and its relation to the Christian character. You can also listen to and download our radio show podcasts at https://voice-in-zthe-wilderness.podcastpage.io/. You can also find our podcasts on Spotify. Search for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio by Wilderness Productions. If you would like to support Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio financially, then please send your monetary donations to our website at vitwradio.org. Click on the page called About Us. You can donate to us there. Well, that's it for tonight's show, listeners. Good night and God bless.
Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically based messages live down the internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.